I really wanted to preach on Azusa Street. Or not preach, but share with you what happens after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord came up with something else. And it just so happens that I had to teach it this week. And when I was sitting there at home last night, I went, wow, I got to tell these guys because it's new to me. And maybe it's been mentioned before, but I guess it hit me. So I just have to share it. And I pray that the Holy Spirit helps me to say it simply, because I only have a few minutes, and yet be able to tie it in. I want to tie in the Old Testament with the New Testament, ending with Pentecost. But we're going to talk about the first four feasts of the Lord in the Old Testament that was commanded to Moses, given by God, that the Israelites would have seven feast days in a year. And the reason why he wanted the seven feast days was first to bring them together as families, and second, so that they would remember what God had done for them and what God was going to do for them in the future. Yes. Now, of course, you're reading it in Leviticus 23, I think. And when I read it, it was all law. And so I'm glad that the teaching that comes out of the book I teach out of is down on the kids' level more so, because that's where I got to have it, and that's where you got to have it. So we're going to just look at the first four feasts, and I want you to listen with your spiritual eyes open, because in the Old Testament they were taught according to the flesh and according to how they tilled the soil out of the soil, and in the New Testament we got to bring it over in the New Testament in the Spirit, okay? Think about Jesus when I'm talking. So the first feast was Passover. And Egypt was getting ready to leave, Moses and the Israelites were getting ready to leave Egypt. And Jesus told them, one of the plagues was that the firstborn would be killed. This was on the evening of Passover. So remember this. And they had to take the lamb, the perfect lamb. Who does that represent? Jesus, the Lamb of God. They had to take that perfect lamb, and they had to sacrifice that lamb and take the blood from that lamb and put it on the doorpost, which we are to do with our hearts, the blood of Jesus on the doorpost of our hearts. And in so doing, those that celebrated the Passover behind those doors, when the death angel came by, that death angel would not touch them, and the firstborn in their family would not be touched. However, the firstborn of Pharaoh was taken that night. So the next day they leave quickly. They're even told to dress quickly, eat fast, in the directions for the Passover that night, and because they were going to be leaving really fast. Okay, so that is a picture of Jesus. Now I'm going to take you over into the New Testament. I'm going to do it that way because I think you'll understand it better. The night that Jesus was betrayed was the night of the Passover. He died on Passover. This is just amazing to me. I'll just keep going. Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was that little lamb. The Israelites did not, in the Old Testament, have the New Testament to look at. So when I saw the New Testament, I got excited. But I've never been taught on it, and I'm sure some may have studied it. I've never studied the feasts. So Jesus was the Lamb, and when Jesus was having Passover with his disciples, he knew that he was the Lamb of God. He knew what he was going to do, but the disciples still didn't understand it. Okay, now we're going to go to the next one. The next one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is kind of like our Christmas Eve and Christmas. They celebrated Passover the one night, and the next day started the 7 days of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was showing Israel that they had sin and that the unleavened bread, they were going to fast from the yeast and the bread because of the sin. Jesus is the representation in that matzah that they ate, the Jewish matzah. He is the bread of life. Okay, so I want you to cross it over. And it was, anyway, it was to show Israel about their sin, to celebrate that God was really going to make a way for them to be forgiven of their sin when Jesus died on the cross. What is, and sin, yeast in the bread represents the sin. Because I have pictures, but I'm not going to show you, of yeast in a bowl and it's bubbling. Has anybody's parents made homemade bread? And the yeast is in the bowl and it's bubbling up because it's got a fermenter in it. Yeast is a fermenter. It's actually a bacteria. And what's that? That's going to do, you add that to the flour and it's going to go through the whole loaf of bread and it's going to puff it up and it becomes that beautiful, warm, nummy bread with, then you put butter on it and you got nummy bread. But if sin starts in our life and we don't acknowledge it or take care of it, it spreads through our whole being and it affects us to the point of death. It'll bring us to death. Jesus is the bread of life, and he took away the sin of the world by his precious blood. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was when Jesus was buried. It was the exact time. Now, the third one is the Feast of First Fruits. And all of these are harvest time festivals because the first four represent what Jesus has already done for us. And the last three are about what's going to happen in the end times, which I didn't know that either. So the Feast of First Fruits was when they would bring whatever they had in the early spring, because it was usually in March and April, and they would bring that and offer that. They'd give it to the priest, and the priest would offer it as a sacrifice. And this was above and beyond their tithes. They had to do that. And it was representative of the food that came out of the ground. So this was when Jesus was resurrected. And I'll tie that in with 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, Jesus became the firstborn of the dead. He was resurrected during the Feast of First Fruits. This actually happened in this order. How God did that, that's what I couldn't believe. How did God do that? How did he line it all up? And they all happened on that feast day. Then Jesus told in John 12:24, if I die, he says, well, he didn't say it that way, but I'm going to tell you that to you, paraphrase it. If I die and become like a seed and they put me in the ground, I will produce more fruit that way. That's paraphrase version. He would bring forth much fruit. So that's his life being buried. He comes back up, and then he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That's where that comes in. Now we go to Pentecost. When I read this, there was no reference to where she got the information. Okay, so I kind of got a little upset because I got to have a reference. You can't tell me that these things happened on this day if you don't tell me where it's at. But I love Sid Roth. Anybody heard of Sid Roth? He's a Messianic Jew. And so I put in Google search for how they connect these things. And it came up with Sid Roth. And I was so excited because then it said the same thing she was saying and I knew that it was true. Shavuot and Pentecost are the same thing. But Shavuot is an anniversary of Moses receiving the Ten Commandments on the mountain. Did you know that? How did God do that? The Pentecost, he left Egypt on Passover, and 50 days later, he was receiving the Ten Commandments on the mountain. And you know what happened on the mountain? The Lord said, I'm going to come down on that mountain in a very dark cloud. And there's going to be lightning. There was lightning. And what would that bring to people who weren't sure they liked this God anyway? You know, he's telling us to come to the mountain. I ain't going to that mountain. But that's what happened on the Pentecost in Egypt. It was a prophetic word of what was going to happen in Pentecost with the fire, the tongues of fire. Are we getting it, or am I just getting it? So this is the anniversary of Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. This came from Sid Roth on the mountain, and that was somewhere between 1500 and 1250. It's also the celebration of Pentecost, which took place on the same day in the Hebrew calendar, 50 days after Yeshua rose from the dead. They are really the same holiday. And Shavuot was to teach them about community. Pentecost was to empower them. And then it says, on Pentecost, Jews entered the kingdom of God on that Shavuot when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers. Moses received the commandments when he climbed up the burning mountain at God's command, walking into the midst of the fire and bringing a whole new reality of God to Israel. John the Immerser, John the Baptist, baptized Yeshua, or Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. At Pentecost, tongues of fire came upon each believer in Yeshua's resurrection, bringing those who were there and ultimately the whole world in an entirely new experience of God. When God was telling them these stories of the feasts, he was proclaiming the coming of Jesus. He was proclaiming what he was going to do. It wasn't a surprise to him. They had no idea. But you and I in the New Testament can find out these things. And it just blew me away. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do and did it on exactly the same feast day. That's incredible. So today, and then to have this teaching correlate with the day he's speaking on the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. Yeah, think about it. There's been too much going on around here. So I want you to listen to Pastor this morning. Listen with your eyes and your ears wide open, because I believe that it's the former and the latter rains are coming together. Jesus already fulfilled those first three feasts. Now it's the last four, or I guess first four feasts, and it's the last three that we have to watch. Why aren't we celebrating these holidays as a Christian church? Maybe not according to the law, but reading about it and studying about it and knowing these things, because they're for us too. We are grafted into the vine. So today, listen to Pastor. I don't know what's happening, but something is starting, is smoking. It's like your smoke bush. She's got a smoke bush. Have you seen those? They're the ones we're talking about are kind of, they're not purple, they're like a burgundy. And they go 8 to 10 feet tall. But they got this little puff ball on the end. And they're so pretty. And they look like smoke. Anyway, God's going to do something in this church. I believe it's coming and it's getting closer. And it's not just our church. It's the ones that have their ears open, their eyes fixed on him. And God is going to do something. So we need to get into the Word, know the Word, because that's what's going to direct us, is the Holy Spirit. It isn't going to be Pastor. Maybe in the end we're separated from Pastor. What are you going to do? We have to know the Holy Spirit ourselves. We have to hear his voice, be moved by him, and obey what he says. So that's why all of this came. I hope you got something out of it. I know I did. And we can't wait to hear what you got to say.